Hey, welcome. I think we're all here now. My name is Dr. Elliot McGuckin, and I started JollyRoger.com back in 1995 when I was in physics grad school. I still run that. I run about 40 websites. Over the years, I've done a lot of different things, shot a couple of music videos and stuff like that. Last year, I had the privilege to start a class at UNC Chapel Hill called Artistic Entrepreneurship and Technology, and over 400 students signed up for it. We had a group of 50, and I'm teaching it out at Pepperdine in Malibu. I'd like to invite everybody to the Hero's Journey Entrepreneurship Festival. The class is fun in that it marries, some of you are probably familiar, most of you are, with Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey, his famous book, Hero with a Thousand Faces. Even if you've never read the book, you've seen The Matrix, Lord of the Rings, and Star Wars. They all follow the similar plot structure that he showed crossed all cultures and times. But anyway, so we're going to have fun on March 31st. If you guys can make it out, that would be fun. Also, immediately following this, I'm signing my book on the day stage, Hero's Journey Entrepreneurship, The Cowboy's Guide to Calling the Bluff and the Surfer's Guide to Riding the Waves and Creating Wealth via Epic Story. The whole theme of the class and the book is that whether you're doing technology, music, art, literature, anything, it all comes down to story. Here's the arts entrepreneurship site from UNC Chapel Hill where it all started. I'm also doing a longer textbook. That's a short book, the 45 Surf Call the Bluff book. This is a longer textbook due out sometime in June or July. We might hold it off till the beginning of the school year. But anyways, it's about 500 pages, and it follows Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. And it comes with a company workbook that calls on you to kind of follow along on that. We'll go through the hero's journey real quick. I usually get a semester to do it, but I'll try to do it in 20 minutes. A lot of my students might prefer it that way anyway. So let's just talk a little bit about the Hero's Journey Entrepreneurship Festival. And it starts off with, imagine video games with plots, characters, and epic storytelling. Imagine contemporary novels and movies with the same, with heroes and heroines, with Audrey Hepburns and Steve McQueens, once our own John Wayne and Man with No Name ride into town for the showdown where story trumps spectacle. There's a general consensus that spectacle has definitely taken the front seat to story in Hollywood, and also that Hollywood has become risk-averse, right? Because they do a lot of remakes of 70s sitcoms. But as far as any of you filmmakers know, it's probably hard to get a screenplay option or made or anything. The digital technologies are leveling the production and distribution of everything, so time's definitely on your side. So get a copy of Aristotle's Poetics and an HD camera and Final Cut Pro, and you're probably halfway there, right? The whole idea of the festival is kind of going back to the basics. Then it continues, imagine software systems and startups that actually pay the artists and talent. I'm going to talk a little bit about how Web 2.0 companies like YouTube are successful in getting $1.6 billion to the people who found it, but not all that successful in paying the indie artist and creator. The filmmakers, the models, photographers, and bands. And imagine new classes, research programs, ventures supporting all this. So it's fun. The morning sessions of the festival start with a whole panel of different people teaching arts entrepreneurship classes from UT Austin, actually, one of them, Boulder, and Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, other places. To reduce the moral premise of the class really quickly, Jefferson eloquently expressed the entrepreneurial premise in the Declaration of Independence when he said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Everyone's heard that 8 million times. But it's fun to bring it up again in an arts class and say, hey, this was written for all you artists and creators. And then the United States Constitution, I don't know how many of you artists know this, but the only place that it has the words rights, the only place that it mentions the word rights, is where it states the following. The Congress shall have the power to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. So those two clauses kind of express the entire entrepreneurial premise behind the whole class, artistic entrepreneurship and technology. Real quick, let's look at the schedule, and then we'll go on the hero's journey in a real quick way. But the morning starts off with a two-hour session from Gary Beckham from the University of Texas of Austin, and he's hosting a panel of basically himself and four other professors that are going to talk about the whole idea of teaching arts entrepreneurship. Because funny, whenever you put entrepreneurship on a college campus, like the law school or the business school always wants to own it, but the Constitution doesn't say that the law school and business school gets the rights to what artists do, right? It says artists get it. So we kind of want to like give it to the artists and say, hey, wait, the artists ought to do it. Then we have the Institute for Humane Studies talking about scholarships and things. Then I do my Hero's Journey lecture, which I'll do here in a second. And then we move into video games. And Warren Spector will be here on Monday talking about storytelling in video games. It's an emerging field because as video games get more and more photorealistic, a lot of people want them to get souls. And as the soul has always been communicated through epic story, in a sense, that might be the right place to look. Otherwise, like, the video game characters look totally real, but there's like a spookiness to them, right? When you're almost real but not quite. But Flynn and John will be joining us. They wrote their award-winning Chronicles of Riddick video game. And then there's a game company called Simutronics that's coming out with The Hero's Journey, and they have some new innovative technologies to promote storytelling in video games. Then the rest of the panels, we have some original guys from Napster. We have Andrew Breitbart. You guys might know Breitbart.com. You've heard of Drudge Report. Andrew's the other half of Drudge Report. And he also helped Arianna Huffington launch her venture. But anyways, so if you guys live out in Hollywood or Los Angeles, come visit us Malibu on March 31st. And without further ado, let's go into the Hero's Journey Entrepreneurship Lecture. And I have a lot of useful resources on this. If everybody just remembers heroesjourneyentrepreneurship.org and you can click on the Hero's Journey at the top, you'll find those resources. I shot a music video. If we have time, we can watch it at the end for Von Penn. It was a song that's been on Laguna Beach and Grey's Anatomy, and it's also the theme song for Roller Girls. Now, Vaughn's interesting in that she was signed by Stevie Nicks' record label, but that whole thing went through when Britney Spears got famous and they didn't want any like traditional folk singers. Anyway, she's completely independently produced, and she owns all of her masters and recording rights for everything, which actually allows her to sell one song to multiple companies, because she doesn't sell the full rights, but she rents them. And once you kind of get a name for dealing with your own music, it's a lot easier to deal with her directly than it is to deal with Universal or a major record label. So she's saying she would never sign a deal now. She's kind of made it on her own. But we'll watch the video if it works, if we have time at the end. Anyways, let's talk about the Hero's Journey Entrepreneurship outline. And this is the same outline for the syllabus of the class, and it's also the basic table of contents for the two books that I have coming up. And it's also the plot structure, of course, of Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and The Matrix and many other movies. But the whole idea is basically you as an artistic entrepreneur, awake each day to the routine, rise, and leave your dreams behind. And I just want to emphasize the best way to start so much is to start small. So blog your dream and set it down in a notebook and or start a blog somewhere. Blogger.com or WordPress.org are great places. WordPress.com actually has a great intuitive interface for blogging. And that whole idea that starting big projects just a little bit a day is a great way to go because it's so much more efficient than what you think you're really accomplishing. Because if you write down like one sentence in the day on your screenplay, you'll be thinking about it the whole rest of the day, right? So even when you're at work on somebody else's dime, you'll be writing it in your head. But had you not set that sentence down at the beginning of the day, none of that would have happened. So you just do 10, 20 minutes a day. The call to adventure. Everybody knows in The Matrix the classic call to adventure when Neo literally gets a cell phone delivered to him and it's Morpheus on the other end of the line, right? Also earlier on, Neo gets a little message on his computer screen that says, follow the white rabbit, right? Then a girl shows up and she has a rabbit tattoo. So those, I mean, The Matrix did it in so many literal ways. And at this point, what you want to do is you want to go ahead. No one's ever killed anyone from registering their copyrights, right? Or or filing for a domain name, or even registering, doing a trademark and registering the trademark. So I linked to the sites that, as on a panel with the Deputy General Counsel of the Trademark Office, and he said registering a trademark is akin to booking an airline ticket these days. So you don't hire a lawyer to book your airline tickets, right? So you probably don't need to hire one to register your trademark. And then there's the whole refusal of the call, which was depicted, of course. There's a part where Obi-Wan Kenobi wants Luke Skywalker to go with him to that bar, that cool Star Wars bar. But Luke goes, no, I've got work to do. I've got to go home. And Neo, he's told by Morpheus, there's two ways out of this building. You can leave by getting out onto the scaffolding, or you can leave in the custody of the agents. So he's about to climb out, and then he kind of takes a step back and goes, no. And so often we hear parallel refusals of call, voices that tell you they aren't good enough. It's friends, parents, teachers, bosses, and, of course, that own internal voice, which is often parents internalized. And that's the point when you have doubts about your whole project and doing things, that whole idea to like seek mentorship from those who have done, for they will say, yes, you can. And that's the reason why we actually like artists in the first place, right? Because they remind us of our potential. And I just want to emphasize the whole idea, because this comes down to taking risk. And it's kind of this illusion. Mark Cuban has a lot of great quotes about it, how Wall Street, you know, that you all see those brokerage commercials, let us manage your money. Whenever you invest in a stock or put your money in the bank, what's that money doing? It's going to fund some scandal, right? No, I'm just kidding. Not always. But all too often it is, right? And who's to say that Enron is less of a risk than your dreams for a film, right? And plus, you get to own that. So that whole idea of investing in yourself, investing in your own company, incorporating, investing in your own dreams. Because everyone always tells you what you got to save for retirement. Warren Buffett had that famous quote that putting off what you like doing for retirement is like saving sex for old age. So it's the whole idea of like go forth and do that and refuse the refusal of the call. And then stage four is meeting the mentor. Famous mentors, Obi-Wan Kenobi, of course, Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, Morpheus. And does anyone know where the word mentor comes from? It comes from the first mentor in what's called like the first novel of Western literature, which is the Odyssey. Because when Athena appears to Telemachus, Odysseus' son, her name is Mentor. And she appears as an old man. So that's where it comes from. And mentorship surrounds us. It comes from all walks of life. So don't discount anything. But the fun thing about starting a venture is that it changes your whole perspective on the world. Because all of a sudden, just the daily news or just a friend or a coach or a teacher, all of a sudden what they were saying takes brand new meaning in the new context that you're actually trying to accomplish something and get something done. I have a couple cool links here. The U.S. Patent Trademark Office, USPTO, has a page that's dedicated to artists, musicians, authors, and creators. So it's actually specific for all the musicians, artists, and authors. It tells you the basic difference between patents, trademarks, and copyrights and the best way to protect and profit from your work. And real quick, before we go to the rest of the hero's journey, I just wanted to segue into this. Everybody here is an artist, right? Just about. You guys ever get the feeling like the Web 2.0 companies that we're all these creators and we upload all the content and then they make all the money? Does anyone ever get that feeling? Like, you know that whole scene in the Tom Sawyer where he gets everybody to paint the fence and they have to pay him to live for the privilege of painting the fence? Well, MySpace is a little bit right that like that. Because if you're a MySpace band, you upload all the content, get tens of thousands of friends. Can you put advertising there? No. But you get a lot of views. And like, so for some reason, there are all these voices saying, well, that's what you want. You want traffic. You want views. You don't want money, right? And it's like, oh, yeah, I don't want money. All right, see you later. Anyway, so the whole idea is that what it has done is it commoditizes the creators, right? Because if your band leaves MySpace, they probably don't care, right? They'll just get another Britney Spears fan site up anyways. So that whole idea that it commoditizes the creator, that's not a complete deficit because it opens the door to opportunity, and that's to commoditize all the Web 2.0 or 3.0 companies. So this is a little bit of a confusing diagram, right? But anyways, it all starts with the creator, which is you, and you upload your content in an application, if we call it the 45 Revolver, and it lets you syndicate it, and this has a dashboard that actually manages how much money, how many page views that you're getting from all the companies. Because there are a lot of Web 2.0 companies, things like Rever, that do embed advertising and do give you profits. But imagine if you had one place where you could upload your content and then have it automatically syndicated out to all these sites and one dashboard where you can manage it all and define your rights. And if somebody doesn't want to pay you, then it doesn't get syndicated there anymore. And then it also has the option of selling direct to the consumer. So it's a way of bypassing kind of all the middlemen who've kind of perpetuated this myth that artists and creators don't deserve any money. But it's kind of, we call it the commodity reversal. Anyways, that's a project, and if you guys notice, this is kind of like figures from a patent or something like that, but I'm not supposed to talk about it. I got this off my friend's computer, so you better put that away. Anyways, so five, calling the bluff. This is being podcast, I think somebody said. I don't know. Calling the bluff, and I kind of added this stage because in so many movies, there's always that stage of calling the bluff. It comes in different stages. I don't know if you guys saw Tombstone, where they're all surrounded and there's no hope, and Wyatt Earp just gets up and starts saying no, 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 and walking into the bolts and shoots everybody. Exact same scene happens in The Matrix when Neo's about to get killed by Agent Smith in the railway station, and he just says no. So it's that whole idea about calling the bluff, and any artist who's ever been in a negotiation, when you walk in a room, the first thing that they basically convince you of is that you're utterly worthless without them. But of course, in any negotiation, your ability is to walk away from the table, right? That's what gives you all the power. And in life, nobody knows the hand you hold, right? Nobody knows your dreams, and nobody sees the whole way down. Because so often when you talk about your projects, people kind of dismiss them. But you have to forgive them for that, because they don't see what you see. So the whole idea that you have to always call the bluff and cross the threshold, which is the next step. In crossing the threshold, of course, you have a choice. You could take the red pill or the blue pill, right? My friend who opened a restaurant crossed the threshold when he signed a 15-year lease on a building, right? And took out $1 million in loans for all the equipment and hired a bunch of employees. When you open the doors, that's kind of the point of no turning back at that point. The great thing about the web now is that you can cross a threshold without incurring such a large amount of debt or risks, right? And I've got some more resources a little bit further on down here. Oh, is this like the, if I hit reload here. Oh yeah, supernaturally is where it comes in. But anyway, so the whole idea of crossing the threshold and committing to something, the web is an inexpensive way to do it. There's a great site called BizFilings, and you can actually incorporate on this website. I also have to say, when I was teaching at State UNC, we cover legal topics, and all the law professors told me that I always had to like say that I wasn't a lawyer, so I wouldn't get sued at some point for giving people legal advice and things like that. But I just think lawyers don't want us talking about the law, right? Because we have like a First Amendment, right? So aren't we all allowed to talk about the law? I always ask my students first day, I say, what law school did the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution go to? There weren't law schools yet, right? So isn't that funny? Imagine if they were to write the Constitution today, it'd probably be like 10 times as big as the tax code and make absolutely no sense. But the great thing, Declaration of Independence, Constitution, you can sit down and read them in a few hours, and I suggest everybody do that. They're inspirational documents, and they weren't written for lawyers. They're written for you to give you the right to tell them what you do. Anyways, BizFilings is down, or the network's down, but it's a great site for incorporating. For a couple $100s, you can get a Nevada corporation to hide all your assets because they allow complete anonymity. That's because of the industries they support out of Nevada. I have a couple Delaware corporations that are favorable towards, I don't have a Nevada one yet, but I might get one soon, you never know. But anyways, they go down all the lists and the different costs of the different states. If you're doing an internet company, you can incorporate in various states. If you're doing a bricks and mortar, you have to also incorporate or get a license to do business, of course, in your own state. Then there's the whole idea of the road of trials. And once you set off, this is probably the second act of the majority of most movies, right, are the Road of Trials. Certainly in the Fellowship of the Rings, Lord of the Rings series, that's a huge component of it. And step number 8 is tests allies and enemies. And the very name, Fellowship of the Rings, gives away what that whole movie's about, right? It's about forming the fellowship. And so often it is when you commit to a project, when you're going to do a film, when you get those actors, when you hire employees, you might get some enemies here and there, but you'll get friends as never before, too. So it kind of brings out that whole thing. Just being born in this world is risk enough. And so the whole idea is to like own your risk and capitalize on your risk. And that's one of the mottos of, I'll show you guys at the end, we're doing like a surf line. Because my friend liked the gun and surfboard logo, so it's like, let's sell this in Malibu. So we went to like all the little Malibu stores, and like the average price of like a t-shirt is like $50. So it's like, wait, we could charge $50 for these t-shirts here. But anyway, so the whole idea of owning the risk, so often it is that people will proclaim, like, let us manage your risk, but what they're actually doing is that they're transferring all the risk to you and the reward to themselves. Last week we had John Bogle, the founder of the Vanguard Group, which manages over $1 trillion in assets, and he came to speak at Pepperdine, and he founded Vanguard, the mutual fund company, based on his 1951 Princeton senior thesis, and basically what he came across an article in Fortune magazine that said you can't predict the stock market. So if you can't predict the stock market, and he's interning at a Wall Street firm, he asked, why are we paying people to manage money? And his big qualm is the financial industry on Wall Street's a $400 billion industry, and that's $400 billion that we don't need to be paying them because you can't predict the stock market. So he founded the Vanguard Index Mutual Fund, which just spreads it across the 500 stocks of the S&P and doesn't take any fees and just lets it sit there. And of course, was he liked on Wall Street? No, because basically he's telling them, let's be honest and get paid less. So that didn't make him popular. But anyways, he's a hero to many. He's one of the named Fortune magazine named one of the top four investment giants of all time. And I write, there's a whole parallel thing on the site about his life and how it went through all these and Road of Trials. And even after he did all that and founded Vanguard, there's an article about how he's walking down the halls, and there's some controversy about him stepping down in around 2000. The new president and CEO just totally won't talk to him, just totally ignores him. Of course, he gave him that. So it's the whole idea of the prophet not being known in their own home. And everybody knows in the Odyssey, when Odysseus shows up at the end, he has to fight all the people who've been living off of all of his wealth and everything to reclaim his home. So I teach his book, Battle for the Soul of Capitalism, alongside with Homer's Odyssey. And we compare and contrast all the things that lead to the hero's journey. And I want to be perfectly clear about what hero means. Basically, hero is not, it's so often, there's that movie 300 now, right? Which defines him in a graphic way. But so often it is that the hero is more akin to Frodo, right? It's the humble person who is basically just trying to do the right thing one step at a time. And John Bogle, when he was here, he said, I'm not a hero. I'm just somebody who stuck to my guns and just did like the simple thing. But so often, just to do the simple thing and stand apart from the crowd and do it time and time again and do it for the right reason, not for money or anything else, is eventually what makes a hero. And it's that whole idea of the apotheosis, which is one of the stages of the hero's journey, becoming the ideal, which happens at a certain point. So for those who live by ideals, which are generally artists, right, end up creating that kind of wealth that Herman Melville said can't be counted down in dollars from the mint. So then we have the whole idea of supernatural aid, and here's some great resources for everybody. Way out here, something magical happens, a stroke of luck that only means something because of the risk you took. You guys have all heard of open source software, and in many senses, it's supernatural aid. I run over 30 websites and I have 4 servers, and the whole thing cost me about $5,000 a year for all 4 complete servers and all software and everything, because I use all open source. So it definitely keeps all your costs down. Fantastica is an awesome piece of software that allows you for the quick and easy installing of leading open source things. If you get a HostGator account at HostGator, I don't work for them, that's a great place to get you up and going, whether you're doing e-commerce, blogging, or anything like that. I encourage everybody to jump right in and get those Teach Yourself series, because don't be afraid to get under the hood. Programming is a lot easier than you think. You guys have heard of CD Baby? And you know Derek, the founder? He knew absolutely no programming. He just set up a simple HTML page for himself to sell his own CD. They started doing it from friends, but then he realized he needed a database, so he taught himself everything. And it's still him and like one other person. I think they're rewriting the whole thing in Ruby, last I heard. But he taught himself the whole way, and it's the largest distributive independent music. And he learned it himself. Then there's the whole idea of stage 10, stringing the bow, seizing the sword. It's also the apotheosis. And it's that whole idea of becoming the ideal. If you live by ideals long enough, it sets you out on a path where you have to face a lot of trials, and you make a lot of enemies, but also a lot of friends. And then step 11, the showdown ordeal. And oftentimes, it's that whole thing that even when you've gone so far, you still have that huge showdown. You can think about Steve Jobs and the Macintosh, because he founded Apple, and he was kicked out of his own company, right? John Bogle founded Vanguard. He was kicked out of the Wellington Fund, which he thought was his own company. He was the head of it. But they turned around, and they bought Wellington Fund made at Vanguard, just like Steve Jobs was brought back to Apple. So it's that whole idea that so often there's only one who can string the bow, and in your venture, that's you. And that comes down to rescue from without / the resurrection. And of course, in The Matrix, after Neo dies, or that's rescues, no, it should be rescue. Rescue from without the resurrection. When Neo dies, Trinity kisses him, right, from the other side. And that's definitely the rescue from without, right, because it's from the other world. And then there's a resurrection. Does anyone know the rescue from without in Star Wars? Darth Vader's closing on Luke Skywalker and Han Solo comes back, right? So, because he finds that there's actually, he's not just interested in himself, he can't help it, but he wants to help other people too. And then the resurrection, of course, John Bogle coming back in the form of Vanguard, Steve Jobs taking Apple to new heights. And the whole idea is that it's actually the ideals that are resurrected. And the ideals are so often rare things, like that actual founding vision of a company. If you take that away, and that's another myth that a lot of MBAs and lawyers try to perpetuate, that it's one type who creates, one type who manages and owns. But when you look at big companies, I mean, who took Microsoft away from Bill Gates, right? Who took Google away from Sergey and Larry, right? So often it is that the founders, and they try to take Apple away from Jobs, but that didn't work. So when you create something, own it, right? You created it. Don't ever let anyone talk to you. It's like saying, well, you don't deserve that. I love Van Halen's quote. We've been touring for a year, we sold millions of albums, and we're $2 million in debt. That was the record label contract that they signed. Then finally, there's 13, the road back, return with elixir / freedom. And it's that whole idea of that you can do it again and you have the freedom to live. Richard Branson, classic example of always going into industry after industry. He started with just a student newspaper, became a record label and record stores. And then all of a sudden, it became an airline, right? How do you go from record company to airline? You have to be like an idiot. He said that basically he didn't understand math, and that's why he got in the airline business. But then he's done it in Coca-Cola, the Virgin Cola, where he rode down a tank in Madison Avenue saying he's coming for the CEO of Coke. But he always has fun, and he breathes new life into state industries, right? Because airlines, they just pack units, commoditized. But Virgin Airlines, they have a bar, they give you massages. He takes state stuff, and he makes it fun. I think time's about up. Do I have time for questions or no? No questions? Oh, yeah, we'll play the Von Penn video. That's better than answering questions. Oh, yeah, and I'll be signing a book right at 4:30 in the day stage. Like, the 45 Surf book should be here, which is, like, I think 3 minutes ago. I'm supposed to be in the day stage 3 minutes ago. But we'll play the Von Penn video until they, like, turn off the power, I guess, or something like that. I don't know. But I shot it for free, so that was, like, cheap, I think.